From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
I'm standing by for Erica Stanford to do something about this because these numbers are out of control, aren't they? This is a cluster.
Well, this is migration we're talking about, and it is one of those topics that does sort of potentially sort of polarise opinion, doesn't it, Mike? You know, how much migration do we need? How should we do it? What are the impacts? What sort of skills should we be targeting? All those. So I'll leave those questions for the water cooler and the barbecue. What I can tell you, yes, you're right, is that inward migration continues to be very strong, more so than ever this time. You know, we're seeing these strong levels of migration, but more so than ever, these numbers highlight the potential danger of being sort of too focused on the first release, on the new numbers. But, Mike, you and I are here to draw some conclusions, to make some comments, so we'll do that, albeit with caveats. Net permanent long-term migration flows are, as I said, still strong. So we got provisional numbers from Stats New Zealand yesterday for January. Look, the initial provisional number for January was a little lower than previous months, and here is the reason for heightened caution around interpretation this month, because when you look at these numbers on the charts, you could be very tempted to call a turning point here, to call a peak in migration. I think you've got to be very, very careful about doing that, because it takes months for these sort of purse provisional numbers to settle. They get revised over subsequent months. And these revisions continue to be pretty material. But let's just look at the numbers for what we've got for the January year. 257,000 arrivals, 123,000 departures. So you've got a net migration gain of a little bit shy of 134,000. The thing to note here, Mike, though, is that the numbers on both sides of the ledger here, both arrivals and departures, they continue to be records for annual measures. So what we have got is lots and lots of movements. And to give you a feel for that, that arrivals number, 257,000, the long-term average from 2002 to 2019 is 119,000. So we're running at 257, and the average is 119. So you can see how much larger these numbers are. Here's some flavour to how these revisions can also play out, Mike. We got big revisions to previously announced data. This time, the revisions to a large degree were driven by downward revisions to what were the originally announced numbers for migrant departures in November and December. What's happened is those departures have subsequently come back in January and February, so they weren't actually long-term departures at all. So that's the sort of flavour of how those revisions pan out. The source of the migrant arrivals continues to be dominated by three countries, India, Philippines and China. The seasonally adjusted month's number, 2,870, that'll change over subsequent months. Here's a number to remember, Mike. These revisions have pushed up the peak migration number. So peak migration number at some stage, remember we were saying, oh, it's running at 120,000. And then we said, oh, it's running at 130,000. Peak migration is now running at 140,000 because the revisions have now created that number in November of last year. So that's the number to remember. Quick note on tourism. We got those numbers yesterday. We saw a seasonally adjusted climb in visitor numbers to New Zealand in January. That has been going the other way, so that's good from a tourism point of view. Annual visitors numbers are now over 3 million persons. That's the first time we've seen that in close to 4 years. China is still that main market that's slow to recover.
Too slow. Give us a quick word on housing. There's been all sorts of data this week.
Yeah, look, is the housing market getting up ahead of steam? I don't think so. The REINZ numbers came out yesterday. First thing, again, you've got to be a little bit careful with these numbers, Mike, because we've got the tyranny of statistics operating here. Feb numbers actually look quite good if you compare them to last February, but that's because last February was kind of crap. Last February was really soft. If you remember last February, we were immediately sort of post-weather events, not really a time when you see, or that affected the housing market in February. So you got 5,693 sales recorded, but more than last year, but those two numbers are probably the worst Februarys we've seen in over a decade. Look at prices. I like to look at the house price index. Removes statistical anomalies. It's up 1.1%. Seasonally adjusted, probably close to flat. We're still 13% below the 2021 peak. House price inflation is just above zero, but you've got a big lift in listings. Sales are still weak. Days to sell still fairly long. Doesn't feel to me like the housing market is going to be problematic for the Reserve Bank for a
little
while.
Other numbers, please.
Yeah, so we're ending the week with some little red numbers in front of me. The Dow Jones is down 186 points, 38,857. The S&P 500 down 0.4%, 5,142 as I look at it. And the NASDAQ is down just over 0.5%, 16,089. FTSE 100 lost 0.4% overnight. The Nikkei was up 0.29%, 38,807. Shanghai Composite lost 6. The ASX 200 lost 0.2%, 7714, and a very quiet day on the NZX 50, barely moved, 11,808, 0.6137 against the US, 0.9314 Aussie, 0.5634 Euro, 0.4811 pounds, 90.88 Japanese yen, gold, $2,159, and unfortunately, Brent crude creeping up, $85.28. Yeah, we don't want that.
No, have a good weekend, mate. Appreciate it. JMOWealth.co.nz, Andrew Kelleher.